He lives inside of me. Because I can tell you right now, if he didn't, I'd be in a mess. We'd all be in a mess. And so I sure am glad that the one that spoke the world into existence, he's living inside of me. And if you're saved tonight, he's living inside of you. What a wonderful, wonderful truth in song tonight. Brother Nick, I appreciate that. I appreciate Brother Nick. He's got a good spirit about him. I believe he's got God's hand on his life, and that's a blessing. I want to preach to you tonight about another message that I've been leading up to about Peter. And I'll be honest, as I come tonight, the way the service's been going, I could go home right now. I'd be full. I'm serious. I mean, after I heard my mother-in-law sing like that, I can say with the psalmist, it has been good to be in the house of the Lord, right? We got to get her signed up for specials right away, Meredith. Amen. I was up here thinking Sister Ann's going to be looking for an employee Monday. So y'all see an ad out for We Care in the booth back there. Y'all know what happened, right? That was good. Amen. I'm honest. As I heard the testimonies tonight, God was just speaking to my heart. They were good testimonies, and it's just wonderful to hear how God is working in people's lives. And you know, my message tonight is a very serious or very sobering thought. And so I don't know. I'm just going to preach what God's laid on my heart. And as I do it, I honestly just want to do it as humbly as I possibly can. Because, I mean, as I said, it's been kind of a lighthearted service so far with some of the singing and some of the testimonies and the video. And I'm not trying to take it to another level and get all serious on us, but I've got to preach what God's laid upon my heart. And I'll be honest with you, it's a very serious matter. I see here in Luke chapter number 22, been leading up to this for weeks now. I think it's interesting that, you know, we're finally going to talk about Peter's collapse, Peter's fall, Peter's failure. You know, I think it's interesting that Pastor mentioned it, I believe, this morning in his message. You know, it's amazing how the things that people will emphasize and point out. All that Peter did, my wife and I were talking about it. All the great that Peter did, we've seen already, and we've yet to even see the greatest days of Peter's life yet. Peter's greatest days are after Jesus resurrects. In that book of Acts, God uses Peter in a mighty way. But all the great things that God did with Peter, and it just amazes me that the thing that most people remember is his failure. It's sad, really. It's just our nature. I don't know what it is about us, but us as human beings, we like to emphasize the negative sometimes instead of the positive. And Peter, all the great things that Peter did and all the mighty acts that God used Peter to do, and one of the events in Peter's life that we remember the most is Peter's failure. But I was telling my wife, we were talking about it a little bit, and I said, you know, Peter wasn't the only disciple that failed this night, I don't believe. Now, Peter was the only one that denied the Lord, but they all left him. But I believe God really wanted to show us some things about Peter, and I believe it was so that we can learn from his life. We've been talking about lessons from the life of Peter. And I'm glad that failure's not final. We're going to get into that here going forward in Peter's life. But tonight I do want to talk about Peter's failure, Peter's collapse. In verse number 31, I see here the Bible says, "The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for thee that thy faith fail not." And I like this. "When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." And he said unto him, "Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death." And he said, "I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." The first thing I see here is the prediction of Peter's collapse, or you could say the prophecy of Peter's collapse. You see, Jesus knew Peter was going to fail. Now, we don't know who's going to fail and who's not going to fail, who's going to fall, who's going to collapse, who's going to backslide. But Jesus knows, and Jesus predicted Peter's failure. But not only do I see the prediction of Peter's collapse, but I also see the praying about Peter's collapse. Aren't you glad Jesus is praying for you? Amen. The Bible says here that Jesus, he said in verse 32, "But I have prayed for thee." That's Peter, singular. That "thee" there is Peter. He's talking to Peter. He's saying, "Peter, I've prayed for thee." He said, "Satan had desired to have you, all of you, all of the disciples, that he may sift you all as wheat." He said, but Peter, I've prayed for thee. specifically. I've prayed for thee that thou, he says, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. So we see, first we see the prediction of Peter's collapse. Then we see the praying about Peter's collapse. And as I said, I'm glad to know tonight that we have a high priest that is ever liveth to make intercession for us. Jesus is praying for us. Aren't you glad for that tonight? I'm telling you, it encourages me. I got a couple texts this afternoon that told me, I'm praying for you tonight. And I'm going to be honest with you. You just don't know what that does for somebody as they're studying God's word, as they're preparing to preach. And I know our pastor knows. And those text messages or those confirmations from someone that says, I'm praying for you. How encouraging that is to know that someone is lifting your name before the throne of God. But better than that, can I tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ is praying for us. Amen. And Jesus said, Peter, I've prayed for you. So we see the prayer about Peter's collapse. Then I like this. I see the promise after Peter's collapse. I like this. Verse 34, Jesus said, I tell thee, I mean, verse 32, Jesus said, I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And he said, and when? He didn't say if. He said, when thou art converted. Now, he's not talking about when Peter gets saved. Peter's already a saved man. If you look up that word converted, it literally means when thou gets turned around. When you get right, Peter. When you get on back on the right track, Peter, he said, when thou art converted, Peter, I've got something for you to do. There's a promise about Peter's collapse. Jesus says, Peter, you're going to get right with me. Can I tell you, I'm just of the belief here tonight, and if I'm wrong, Pastor can correct me, and I mean that, but I'm just of the belief tonight that God corrects his children. I believe that. If not, he'll take them home. That's what the Bible teaches. The Bible says, if you be without chastisement, then ye are not sons, ye are bastards. God chastens his children, and if he has to, he'll scourge them, and if they still won't get right, I believe he'll take them to a premature death. But God's children get right with him. You see, that's the difference between a lost person and a saved person is God deals with his children. God will correct his children. And God said, Peter, when thou art converted, Peter, you're going to get right again. That's encouraging to me. But not only do I see the prediction about Peter's collapse, the prayer about Peter's collapse, the promise after Peter's collapse, but this is what I want to preach on tonight, the precursors of Peter's collapse. The precursors of Peter's collapse. You see, a precursor is something that leads up to. There's a word, harbinger. Is that how you say that word? I think that's what you say. Harbingers, right? They're things. They're almost like tremors of an earthquake. They're signs that something's on the horizon, right? It's like storm clouds that get in the sky and they're leading up to a storm, right? They're precursors to what's coming. And I believe we see here in Peter's life some precursors of his collapse. And I want us to look at those tonight. And as we look at them, I want us to be very mindful that if Peter could fall, we can too. I'm preaching tonight very humbly, and I mean that. You say, well, you don't sound it, Brother David. I mean it as much as I can say it. I come to you tonight as humbly as I can because as I've been studying this message and as I've been preparing for this message, there's been one thought that has constantly ran through my mind, and that is, it could be you. I mean, we're talking about a man that walked on water. We say that, we think of Jesus, and we should, but let's not forget Peter did too. We're talking about a man that Jesus called. We've looked at his life, how Jesus came to the shore of Galilee, and he called Peter and said, Peter, I'm going to make you a rock. He said, thou art Simon, but thou shalt be called Cephas. He said, Peter, I'm going to change you. And he called him, and he changed him, and he challenged him. And we looked at how that Peter launched out into the deep, and he took that challenge, and how that Peter was a man of courage, and how Peter was a man of conviction. I mean, we're talking about the man that said, to whom shall we go? When everybody else in John chapter 6 turned and left Jesus, Jesus said, will ye also go away? And Peter said, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. He said, we believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, we believe and are persuaded. I mean, I'm talking about a man of conviction, a man of courage, a man with a call on his life, a man that had accepted the challenge of God. I'm talking about a man that had done some great things for Jesus. Can I tell you, if he can fall, I can too. If he can fall, you can too. See, everybody from the pulpit to the pew, from the adolescents here, the children, to the adult, None of us are immune to it. And over, as I've been preparing this message, and over, as I've been getting my heart ready to preach, God has just continuously, the Holy Spirit of God has just continuously reminded me it could be you. And so I want to give you some things tonight that I see as precursors of Peter's collapse, some evidences or some things that led up to Peter's great fall. And I believe that you can see them as you look through the Gospels. I think there's little hints of them here and there. But as we get closer to the cross, as we get closer to Calvary, as we get closer to Peter's collapse, I think they get more clear. So I want to give them to you tonight. Number one, the first thing I see is this, is pride. Peter struggled with pride. As we've been studying his life the last 2 months or so on Sunday nights, we've seen numerous times this pride that Peter struggled with. And can I tell you, if we're honest, we all struggle with it. It's a precursor to a collapse. The Bible says, let him that thinketh he stand. Listen to me tonight, brethren. This could be a warning for somebody tonight. This could be a life-changing message for somebody tonight. You could be on the verge of a great fall. You say, not me, Brother David. Oh, yeah, you. Me. I was thinking about how I said it from the pulpit to the pew, and I've sat there before and heard statements like that said, and I mean, I've let out a hearty amen. But you know, sometimes we say amen, but we don't mean it. We say, oh, yeah, amen, I could fall, but really in our hearts we're thinking, nah, not me. Maybe somebody else, but not me. That's what Peter thought. You see, the Bible says that by pride, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. Proverbs 13, 10 says, only by pride cometh contention. Did you hear that? Only by pride cometh contention. You say, there's some contention in my home. There's some contention in my marriage. There's some contention at work. There's some contention in my life. Can I tell you where it started? Pride. Only by pride cometh contention. Pride, the Bible says, goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. The Bible says in Proverbs 29, verse 23, a man's pride shall bring him low. And I could go on and on with verses about the proud, or pride, or arrogant, or boasting. The Bible talks about it over and over and over again. We all know. I'm preaching to a Sunday night crowd in the Independent Baptist Church. The great sin that caused Lucifer to fall was pride. He said, I will be like the Most High God. I will exalt myself up to heaven. I will. You see, he said, it was pride. And pride, this thing of pride is a precursor to a fall. If we're not careful, the Bible says we will fall. Let him that thinketh he stand, take heed lest he fall. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for a man knows not what a day may bring forth. See, we got to be careful about this thing of pride. And Peter allowed pride to get into his life. And here, I want you to turn to Matthew 26. I'm going to try to stay, for sake of time, I'm not going to turn around a lot tonight. And I'm going to try to stay in Matthew 26 as much as I can. I may have you turn to Luke. There's so many different accounts here. But you go to Matthew 26. Last week, we looked at John 13. I don't have you turn there, but John 13, maybe you'll remember. In verse number 8, Jesus came to his disciples, and this was the night of the Passover. We took the Lord's table last week, and I believe that was the night of the Passover. Jesus came to his disciples, and the Bible says he washed their feet. And when he got to Peter, Jesus said he was going to wash Peter's feet. Peter said, no, never. The Bible literally says, Peter said, no, never shalt thou wash my feet. And if you read that in the Greek, it's a double. It's saying, no, not never. Peter's saying it's not going to happen, right? And so we see as we get closer to Calvary, as we get closer to Peter's collapse, we see him arguing with Jesus. Look in Matthew chapter number 26. We see it in John 13. Look at Matthew 26. I believe these are different accounts here. I think it happened numerous times. Some people believe that it was all the same account. But if you study where Jesus was and what was said and when it happened, there's no doubt that there was three or four different times on the night of the Passover that Peter was arguing with Jesus. Look at Matthew chapter number 26. Look at verse number 31. The Bible says, then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. And the Bible says this, Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never, no, not ever, be offended. You see Peter's pride? Do you see it? Jesus said, all of you shall be offended of me this night. Jesus said that all of the, he said, I will smite the shepherd, the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. Jesus said, you're all going to be offended of me this night. And Peter said unto Jesus, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. You see, Peter was arguing with Jesus. What kind of pride does it take to argue with the Lord? We saw it. I remember a couple weeks ago I preached and there was another event where Peter was arguing with Jesus. And I remember talking about it a little bit that night. But do you get the message here? Peter is arguing with the Lord Jesus Christ. In Mark chapter number 14, I won't have you turn there, but in Mark 14, Jesus told the disciples that they were all going to be offended at him. And verse number 31 says that Peter said, no, not me, Lord. And then it says that Jesus said, yeah, you, Peter. And he said, and the Bible says that Peter said more vehemently. That's the word that it uses, more vehemently. I looked up that word. It means excessively, more fiercely, more intensity. Peter said, not me, Lord. Are you with me? Peter's arguing with Jesus. They might all offend you, Lord, but not me. Pride. I say this and I got to move on. We got to be careful about arguing with Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. You see, when this book says something, it's best for us not to argue with it. How much pride does it take for us as men, as women, to have somebody take the Word of God, take the Bible, and show us clearly this is what the Bible says, and for us to argue with it? I don't care what the Bible says. That's what people say. They might say it with their lips, but they say it with their life. You say, Brother David, do people really say that? You better believe they do. With their life. I don't care what God's word says. I'm going to do life my way. Don't care what that preacher says. I don't care what that Bible says. I'm going to do it my way. Can I tell you, you are on the way to a fall. Hear me tonight. God help me. I'm talking to myself. I'm as guilty as any. If you began to argue with this book, if you began to argue with the Word of God, if you began to argue with the preaching of the Word of God, and it's from this Bible right here, you mark it down. That is a precursor for a fall. Peter's arguing with Jesus. But not only is Peter arguing with Jesus, do I see his pride in his arguing, but I also see his pride in his arrogance. The word arrogance means this. It means the act of taking much upon oneself. It means proud contempt of others. Peter said, though all men shall be offended of thee, I will never. You can read it in all the accounts. I wish I had time to go through them all. I mean, Peter said, hey, the rest of these fellows right here, Lord, they might deny you, but not me. See, Peter took more upon himself. Peter thought more highly of himself than he ought. Peter said, oh, they might turn on you, Lord. They might deny you, Lord. They might walk away from you, Lord, but not me. I won't do it, Lord. Reminds me, I think, of that publican and that sinner, and he said, I'm glad I'm not as other men are. You know, he went up to the house with his head up, and he prayed this prayer to God. I'm glad I'm not like this sinner, right? It's almost like Peter saying, I'm glad I'm not like them. They may be offended at you, Lord, but not me. I hope that's not anybody here tonight. God help me not to get to the place where I think, I mean, God's been dealing my heart about this. I don't want to ever get to the place where I think, oh, that person might fall, but not me, Lord. No, it could be me. It happened to Peter. If Peter could fall, can I tell you anybody can? Anybody can. Pride is a precursor to a fall. You know, the attitude we need to have is the attitude Paul had. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 12, he said, when I am weak, then I am strong. John the Baptist in John chapter 3, he said, he must increase, but I must decrease. Can I tell you, that's the attitude we ought to have. I think Peter got it later in his life. In 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 5, Peter, the Bible says this, he said, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. I think Peter got it. I think after this collapse in Peter's life, I believe Peter understood, I got to be careful about this thing called pride. I've got to be humble. And I want to encourage you tonight, brethren, hey, we got to be careful about pride. Number one precursor of Peter's collapse I see is pride. Number two is prayer life. You're in Matthew, right? Look at Matthew chapter number 40. Well, verse number 30. Let's see, verse 37. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further, and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And verse 40 says, and he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. And I like this. He saith unto Peter, Why does the Holy Spirit want us to know that Jesus said to Peter? I really believe, this is my opinion about it. My opinion, okay, I'm making that very clear. I really believe it's because it's leading up to something, and the Holy Spirit wants us to know that he's trying to teach us some things from Peter's life. Now, obviously, Peter was a spokesman and Peter was a leader, but Jesus didn't speak to James and John. The Bible's very clear that Jesus spoke to Peter. He cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Maybe it's because Peter was the one that said, I'll never turn on you, Lord. I'll never be offended. Though all men may be offended at you, Lord, I'll never be offended at you. Maybe that's why Jesus said, Peter, you sleeping? Could you not just watch with me for 1 hour, Peter? Look at verse number 41, he said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Look at verse 43. The Bible really wants us to know that they were sleeping. It says, and he came and he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Verse 45, then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. So we see here, the first precursor I see in Peter's collapse is his pride. Second precursor I see is his prayer life. Peter's sleeping when he's supposed to be praying. You say, Brother David, are you trying to say if I'm sleeping when I'm supposed to be praying that I'm getting ready to fall? I'm not saying that, because I'll be honest with you tonight. I told our teenagers Wednesday night, prayer is probably one of the hardest things in the Christian life. Maybe it's not for you, but it is for me. I told him, I said, you know, anything beneficial, anything profitable, usually is hard. I told him, dieting's hard, except for Nathan Coleman. Everybody, no, I'm just playing. Me and Nathan were talking about it. But dieting's hard. Why? Because it's beneficial. Exercise, it's hard to do it consistently. Why? Because it's beneficial. See, things that are beneficial usually are hard to do. And can I tell you, prayer is hard because it's very beneficial. And if we're not careful, a precursor to our fall could be found in our prayer life. Peter's supposed to be praying, but yet Peter's sleeping. And so I see, not only do I see his prayer life in that he's sleeping when he's supposed to be praying, but I also see that he's struggling. Look at verse number 41. Jesus said, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. And you know, I always took this. I was telling Pastor Brandon, I don't know why. I don't know if I ever heard it preached. I don't know what it was. I always took this next phrase as if Jesus was talking about himself. Look at it. He said, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I've always taken that passage of scripture like Jesus was saying, you know, pray, Peter, pray. I'm getting ready to go to the cross, and the spirit's willing, but this flesh is weak. You know, the Bible says that he sweat great drops of blood, and he said, Father, if it be thy will to remove this cup from me, you know, do it. He said, but if not, thy will be done. And I always took this passage of scripture as if Jesus was saying, Peter, my spirit's willing, but my flesh is weak. I need you to pray. But that's not what Jesus is saying. He's telling Peter, your spirit indeed is willing, but your flesh is weak. You ever been there? Have you ever been there? Some of you there right now while I'm preaching. The spirit is willing. I want to listen. I want to stay awake. I want to hear the message, but the flesh is weak, Brother David. I'm not being mean. I'm being serious. It's spiritual warfare. It's a struggle. The flesh and the spirit, they're contrary one to the other, and there's an enemy, and there's spiritual warfare that's going on. And yes, you're here on a Sunday night. Why? Because your spirit is willing. But I can tell that as I look into the face of some of you, your flesh is weak. And Jesus is telling Peter, Peter, you better pray. Because your spirit's willing. I know, Peter, you don't want to deny me. I know, Peter, you don't want to walk away from me. Peter, I know you don't want to fail me. And I know what you are, Peter. I know you, but your flesh is weak, Peter. You better pray. Can I tell you, brethren, I'm telling you, this is a warning tonight to us, to you, to me, to everybody in this building. Hey, our spirit is indeed willing, but our flesh is weak. And our prayer life can be a precursor to a collapse. It's a struggle. I understand that, to pray. We want to sleep when we're supposed to be praying, and we get distracted, and there's all kinds of things that go on. And I know that it's not always because we're on the verge of a collapse. I understand it's spiritual warfare and our enemy is fighting against us. But I'll tell you this, I can always tell a lot about my walk with the Lord by my prayer life. I can. I know when I'm not praying the way I ought to be praying, I'm not where I ought to be with the Lord. And you know it too. When we don't spend that time with God in the morning or throughout the day, and just as we're going along in life, when we're not spending time just talking to God, and I'm not talking about getting on our face, I'm talking about throughout the day, Lord, help me, Lord, guide me, Lord, I need you, God, in this situation, in that situation, if we're not in fellowship and communion with God, it's usually a sign that something is wrong. And so I see that in Peter's prayer life. I see a precursor in Peter's prayer life. Not only this, I see it in Peter's passion. Look at Matthew 26. I need to hurry. Look at Matthew 26. Look at verse number 51. The Bible says this, "And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword." So I see a precursor in Peter's pride. I see a precursor in Peter's prayer life, but I also see a precursor in Peter's passion. You say, what do you mean by passion, Brother David? I'm talking about unbridled passion, his temper. I want you to turn to Luke 22. Hold your place in Matthew and turn to Luke 22 again. I should have told you to keep your place there. I got to get you to see this because I never saw this before. Luke chapter number 22. Look at verse number 49, if you would. Luke 22. Well, verse 48 says, "But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss?" And look at 49. "When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword?" I've never seen that before. Look at verse 50. "And one of them," we know who that one is, right? Peter. "One of them," the Bible says, "smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear." I never knew that they asked before Peter acted. The disciples said, "Lord, should we pull our swords and fight?" And before Jesus could even answer, Peter, whop, you know, passion, okay? Passion. It's not all negative, I don't guess, but I don't know. Peter, Jesus rebuked him. Jesus said, "Peter, what are you doing?" Look at it in verse number 50. "And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, Suffer ye thus far? And he touched his ear and healed him." In Matthew 26, you can go back to Matthew. In Matthew, the Bible tells us Jesus told Peter, he said, "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be?" He said, "Peter, what are you doing, man? Pulling your sword out. You don't think I can call down 12 legions of angels and take care of this situation? Put your sword away, Peter." The Bible says this in Proverbs. I got a verse here. Let me look at it. "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." You say, "I can't help it, Brother David. I just got a bad temper. It runs in my family." I got it from my mama, right? The husband's looking at it, you know, yeah, I got it from my mama, right? I got red hair. As they say, redheads, hotheads, right? We've heard them all. Is that too impolitically correct in 2022? Am I not allowed to say that? The woke people going to cancel me because I said redheads were hotheads, right? Oh, my goodness. What a sad day we're living in, ain't it? I mean, it's just pitiful, ain't it, right? Sad. You know what I was talking about. I just know we're living in a sad day. I know that. But, yeah, I can't help it. You just don't know. I just got a temper. No, you're in trouble. It's a precursor. I can only preach to myself tonight. I can only talk about myself tonight. You know, when I began to get real edgy and real short, snappy, I try not to be. But when I am, I know who's got the problem. It's me. You say, I can't help it. I just lose my temper. Well, the Bible says right here that he that hath no rule over his own spirit, he's like a city that's broken down and without walls. You know what that means? You're in trouble. That's what that means. The walls are for protection. Can I tell you what's going on? When you can't control your passion, when you can't control your temper, your walls are knocked down and you're in trouble. The enemy can enter right in. I'm telling you, I'm trying to help somebody tonight. See, if you've been losing your temper here lately, can I tell you, you might be on the verge of a collapse. Peter lost his temper. He smoked that servant. He just jumped out in passion. He lost his temper. But not only this, I see Peter's passion in his temper, but I also see it in his tongue. I already mentioned in Mark chapter 14 in verse number 31 that he said more vehemently. That means he said it more forcefully. I mean, he got almost angry with Jesus. No, I won't ever offend thee. Don't you say that. Look at Matthew chapter 26. Look at verse number 69. The Bible says, now Peter sat without the palace, and the damsel came unto him, saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto him, to them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath. No, I was not. I swear. He said it with an oath. I promise you, I wasn't with him. And look at verse number 73. And after a while, came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. You know, some people believe that Peter began to cuss. He began to use profanities and vulgarities, and he began to use bad language. I'm not 100% sure that that's what happened. Most people believe that he began to swear. He began to make an oath. He began to bring a curse down upon himself, basically to say, I, before God, I did not. But no matter what he was doing here, as you read that, I can't read it without picturing Peter raising his voice. Peter's saying, no, I don't know the man. No, I don't know the man. I do not know that man. I told you, I promise you, I don't know that man. You see, our passion and our tongue can tell on us. I'm trying to finish. I'm going to get done. I want you. I tried to look it up a little bit this afternoon. You know, all my life when you go to the doctor, they tell you stick out your tongue. I'm always like, what in the world is that all about? And I Googled it. And Google knows everything, so I mean, I know it's right because I read it on Google, right? Yeah, I mean, it's got to be right. But anyway, it's probably wrong, okay? So I'm going to put a precursor out here. This is probably wrong, okay? But they say you can tell a lot about a person by their tongue, their health. You can tell a lot about their physical well-being by looking at their tongue. Can I tell you, you can tell a lot about a person's spiritual well-being by looking at their tongue? Getting short with people, getting angry, snapping at everybody in the house. The kids are saying, my mama's getting ready to fall. Right? No, that's not necessarily always the case, right? You better look in the mirror, children, because y'all always snapping at each other too, right? That tongue will tell on you. That tongue will tell on me. We lose our tongue. We lose our temper. I'm telling you, we might be in for a fall. It's serious. Bible says the tongue's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. No man can tame it. Can I tell you the only way we're going to tame our tongue is by the Spirit of God, by that one Nick sang about, that one that lives in me. He's the only one that can help me to control this tongue right here. And when I don't allow him to control this tongue and I take control of this tongue, can I tell you, I might be getting ready to fall. Peter lost his tongue. We see it in his passion. We see it in his prayer life. We see it in his tongue. And then we see it in his position. Matthew 26, look at verse number 58. The Bible says this. Matthew 26 and verse number 58. The Bible says that, but Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. The Bible says in Luke, it says that he followed him afar off. The Bible says that he was he went out, that he was without. Over and over, the Bible wants us to know. You say, well, Brother David, do you really think that means anything? I don't know why the Holy Spirit wanted it in there, but over and over it tells us that Peter was following afar off. You see, you know why Peter was getting ready to fall, why Peter was getting ready to collapse? Because of his position. He was away from God. I heard pastor say it one time. He had the right direction, but the wrong distance. He was following, but he was following afar off. Is there anybody here tonight you're following afar off? You're following, yeah. You're in church. You're in church on a Sunday night, but you're distant from God. You're not close to God. You're following him from afar. Can you tell you, Peter? The Bible wants us to know that Peter was following the Lord afar off. His position, he was afar off. But not only the fact that he was afar off, but look at who he was around, who he was associating with, who he was accompanying. Verse number 55, look at what the Bible says in verse 55. Oh, I'm in a different passage of Scripture. I'm sorry. I don't know. I didn't write down the book. I wrote down the verse. But either way, the Bible says that he was among them, right? The Bible says that he was warming himself with them. You can read it. Go home. I don't have time to look at it, but you can read about this event in Peter's life. And the Bible says that Peter, he was out around the servants of the high priest, and he was among the wrong people, warming his hands with the wrong crowd. Can I tell you, that'll tell us when we're getting ready to fall, the fact that we're far away from the Lord. We used to be in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, but now we're just in church on Sunday morning, missing Sunday night. Missing a Wednesday night. Not at revival meeting. Used to do this, but no longer doing this. Still following, but just kind of following afar off. Many young people in this building tonight following, but they're following afar off. And see, that's one step to falling. That's one step to a collapse. It's our distance, how far off we are. But it's also who we associate with, who we're around. Peter got around the wrong crowd. You know, I don't see anywhere where John's with them. You don't see John. John was in there too. If you read this story, John got in with Peter. John and Peter were the only two that went that night to the high priest's house or wherever they were at, to the place that they were dealing with Jesus. And Peter and John were there. But I don't see where John was warming his hands around the fire with the enemy. But Peter was. Be careful about who you spend your time with. I'm telling you. We get to hanging around the wrong crowd. I said we. We get to accompanying around the wrong crowd, associating with the wrong people. We're getting ready to fall. There could be somebody here tonight. You've been hanging around with the wrong people. And I'm telling you, God sent me as a warning to say, it could be a precursor. You're getting ready to collapse. Be careful about who you spend your time with. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. That's the Bible. We hang with that crowd, they're going to take us down. We're not going to bring them up. They will take us down. And so we see Peter, his position. He was far off. He was around the wrong people. And then last, we see his pressure. The Bible says in Luke 22, we've already read it, so I won't turn back. Jesus said, Peter, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. I believe that one of the reasons Peter failed was the pressure from Satan. You know, we have an enemy and he wants us to fall. He wants all of us to fall tonight. He'd have no greater joy than to see one of us fall. He had already gotten Judas, and you know what I believe he wanted? He wanted Peter. He wanted Peter to go out and hang himself. He wanted Peter to give up on God. He wanted Peter to walk away from Jesus. And can I tell you, he wants you to, too. The Bible says he's as a roaring lion that walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Our enemy, Satan, the Bible said he's a thief, and he cometh not but to steal and to kill. He wants to destroy. He wants to destroy our testimony. He wants to destroy our church. He wants to destroy our lives, and he puts pressure on us. We've got to be careful. But not only the pressure of Satan, but the pressure of society. If you had time, if I had time, we could look through here. There's a damsel that comes to Peter. There's a maid that comes to Peter. There's servants that come to Peter. I wrote them all down. One place it says they all came to Peter. One of them says one of the servants of the high priest came to Peter. If you look at that passage that I read in every account, there was numerous different people that approached Peter and said, Peter, do you know him? Peter, aren't you one of his? Peter, don't you know Jesus? Don't you walk with the Lord? Peter, I know you. I remember you. You're the one that was in the garden with him. You're the one that smoked the servant's ear. And can I tell you, hey, there is a pressure from society that will try to make us fall. This old world is trying to get us to fall. They will put pressure on us. I feel for our young people that go to school and even those of us that have to go to work and in different situations, there's just a pressure from this old world. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world. You know what conform means? It means to be pressed into the mold. There's a world that wants to press us into the mold of it. They want to destroy our testimony for God. They want us to fall. And Peter failed. I believe Peter failed. I think there's some precursors. His pride, his prayer life, his position, his passion, and the pressure. God help us not to fall. If we're not careful, we can fall. But I'm glad that Peter's story doesn't end here. I'm glad Peter's story doesn't end here. It's to be continued. But maybe tonight, God sent me with this message as a warning. I know it was to me. And I mean it. David Oliver, you better get serious about your prayer life. You better be serious about your pride. You better be serious about your passion, your temper, your tongue. You better be serious about your position. You better not get away from God. You better not hang around the wrong people. You better get serious about being aware of the pressure that Satan and that this society is trying to put on you, because you, David Oliver, can fall. And so can you. God help us not to fall. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your word. And God, I pray that you'd bless it, use it tonight the way that you see fit. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to have the pianist come. You can stand to your feet. I'm going to turn the message over to Pastor.